Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever sat in front of your therapist and wondered, what are your relationships like? What do you struggle with?
We're here to pull back that curtain.
My name is John Kim. I'm a licensed therapist.
My name's Vanessa Bennett. I'm also a licensed therapist.
And we are going to tell you what we struggle with when it comes to love and relationships.
This is our story.
What comes up for you when I say, I need you to work on, or I would like for you to, look at your face. Look at your face. Just hold on. Don't answer this.
Anticipation.
I would like for you to work on ... Or I would like for you to make an effort to work on ... So don't answer that. Mm-hmm. Tell me what comes up for you. Like, what's the feeling? Because things come up for me when someone says that to me. So what comes up for you when I say, I would like for you to make an effort on ...
I mean, if we're being completely honest.
We have to be honest, or what's the point?
What comes up for me initially is defensiveness, mm-hmm, mixed with dread.
Yes.
Mixed with, for me and my story and my codependency struggle, it's like I'm standing at the precipice of the shame spiral. Like, it's ready to go. It's ready.
So it sounds like I'm reprimanding you.
Yes.
Yes. So for me, if you were to say, hey, John, here are some things I would like you to make an effort on. So part of me, same thing, defense, going to, well, I've already got my list of what I want you to make an effort on, right? All of that. But there's a part of me that's like, oh, let's hear it.
Oh, sure. There's a part of me that does that too.
How can
we're
I
just
be
talking
better?
initial gut response is that.
Yeah.
That's the not thinking part of my brain, right? The thinking part of my brain is bringing in the tools that I've learned and, okay, breathe. Like, this is this part of the relationship. Like, you can do this. It doesn't mean you're bad. Let's sit and hear this out. But that's my thinking. That's
right.
Not my gut. That's not
right.
My emotional response. The survival response in me is dread, defensiveness, and shame.
So this is the protein. This is what I want to talk about, because I think this process happens for all couples is, the road forks that logic and the feelings that are coming up. And the feelings that are coming up are tied to our story, are tied to our past, are tied to, like if you struggle with codependency and all of, shame and all of that. So how do you, as a practice, when your partner says, hey, here are some things that I would like for you to make an effort on. Well, first of all, is that wrong to say that? Is there a better way to say it? I don't think you open with that. That's coming in very hot.
Right. I think there's an approach to doing this, which is actually like communication techniques. The Gottmans talk a lot about this, which is like soft openers.
Give us an example of a soft opener. Okay. So give us an example of a soft opener versus a hard opener.
It would be coming in with a compliment first.
Oh, okay.
So it would be coming in with, I really appreciate all that you do.
Yeah.
You make me feel really safe.
Hey, by the way, her hand is underneath the table and she's touching me. And I'm not joking. This helps a lot because I don't think a lot of people.
Well, I connect physically too, right?
Yes.
And so do you.
Yes. So yeah, I'm hearing her giving me a compliment, but, I'm also feeling underneath the table her hand on my leg. And it's not that kind of touch. It's more of, I hear you. I care about you. Mm-hmm.
I'm connected.
It's very gentle. It's just like two or three fingers barely grazing. I mean, I can mistake it for a spider or something. But that helps tremendously is touch. So go ahead. You lost your train of thought.
Yeah.
going in soft. Gone
right.
Means.
So
hand under the table.
Compliment. You know, and this isn't me lying. I mean, this is really me pulling from truth. It would be, you know, because you can't, it can't be fake. It can't be false. It has to be something true.
Yeah, you can't say, hey, you're the hottest woman I've ever seen in my life. Oh, by the way,
I would laugh and be like,
can you,
okay.
Yeah, can you work on these things? So it has to come from an authentic place. So something that is, so, you know, the word compliment is kind of misleading. It's not so much a compliment. It's saying something
positive.
It's
a validation. It's a validation of what that person is doing well.
Something positive, yes.
Right, and what you appreciate about them in the relationship. So, right. You know, if I were going to say, I would say, you know, I appreciate how you make me feel seen. I appreciate that you make me feel very safe. And I'm going to say and instead of but.
Yeah, but negates.
And there are some things I think we should talk about. I've been, you know, sitting with a feeling like there's maybe some areas for improvement. I'm feeling like I'm kind of lacking in a couple areas in the relationship that I think you might be able to help me with maybe some more effort. And so, you know, are you willing to have that conversation? Now, let me pause on that. This is actually a really important piece. This is actually something that Danae and I talked about in our podcast yesterday with somebody, and we were both like that. It's just realizing how important it is. It's actually really important that you ask permission from somebody about whether or not they have the capacity at that moment to have a conversation.
Yeah, but then can't that be an escape go to say no and then the conversation's over?
But that's information for you. If the person says no, hey, not right, like I'm in a really weird headspace, yeah. Or I have a shitload of stuff going on, or like I've got this really important meeting in a couple hours, and listen, I really want to have this conversation with you, but I can't do it right now. It's not on you to get defensive about that. You really have to respect that person not being in a good place and say, okay, so when would be good?
Right.
And then that person's responsible for saying a moment when, right? Like, what about tonight after work? Let's set aside an hour and have this conversation. Because if you come at somebody, even in a soft startup, if you come at somebody with a pretty big, hey, we need to talk conversation, sometimes people aren't in the headspace for that. And you're not going to get the kind of conversation that you even want. If you allow them to come to you when they're ready to.
Yeah, I used to in relationships.
I think that's important.
Want to talk about something and then I wouldn't let go of that topic and we would talk about it for hours. There would be no resolution.
I wouldn't be able to handle that.
And then, you know, my partner would be exhausted and I would feel like if you leave and you don't continue to talk about this, then you're checking out of the relationship. So, and I don't think that's fair. I understand that now, right? So, I get that. But at the same time, you can't use that card too many times.
No.
You can't say every time someone wants to have a hard conversation, you're like, oh, can we talk about this tomorrow or next week? And then it never happens.
Well, I want to say...
You have to come back.
I want to say yes, and then I want to say and. I think it depends on your understanding of your partner. So for me, being an avoidant, right, and having the codependent tendencies, when somebody comes to me with a, I want to have this kind of conversation... Like I said, I immediately, my shame spiral starts to trigger. I feel like I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm already in a place of trying to maintain and keep myself in my body and keep myself, you know, like grounded and present and not dissociating and leaving my body, basically, is what happens to me. So I actually think giving me a heads up would be helpful. I actually think it would be helpful because I could get out of my emotional brain, come back into my logical brain, ground myself and say, okay, we're ready to have this conversation now. You haven't done anything wrong. This is just part of having a relationship. You need to be able to take and give feedback. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are listening or watching and you are one also when confronted or there's some criticism, I don't know if that's kind of a strong word. And what you do is you feel yourself getting very defensive. You feel yourself that you are in the principal's office. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You need to kindly ask for the conversation to be had when it feels better for you. And you can't say never, and you can't say in a week from now, and you can't say 3 days from now. It has to be a reasonable request. This is the thing that I actually work with clients who are couples all the time who have avoidant tendencies, is that you have to be specific about the day, time, moment that you're going to come back and reconnect with your partner.
But even before that step, if you are able to sit down... then be open.
Right. If you're able in that moment, great.
Notice your defensiveness, know where it's coming from, and just hear the person out.
Well, you also could just say, okay, I hear that you want to have a conversation about something. Like, give me 5 minutes. Let me go to the bathroom. Let me kind of take a couple breaths because you know me, right? Yeah. This is not like a relationship with somebody who doesn't know my initial responses. Give me a couple minutes. let me do some breathing and some grounding exercises, kind of bring my nervous system back down to a place of like, let's have this conversation, and then I'm going to come back. Right.
I noticed we've had a couple arguments where both of our nervous systems were high and our shields were out, and we're just playing joust and we're coming at each other. And because of our personalities, we can both pull on that tug of war rope very hard.
Right. And then when you get into that place, what's the point of the conversation?
Then it just becomes point, defensiveness. Right? Yeah. I was going to open with this because the dot, dot, dot was going to be, can you make an effort to crack the windows of our car before exiting? Because then when I get into the car, it's 120 degrees and I'm sweating instantly. But today, before we even did this, I noticed she got out of the car and she rolled the windows down. So she made an effort without me even having to ask, which is my second point.
Well, you had to ask a couple times.
I know. I'm gonna be fair. No, but I didn't have
it's
to.
It's not a normal thing.
Yes,
for
but
me to
like
do.
Joking about it, I didn't have to like sit you down and have a conversation.
Of course.
Right.
I mean, it's also just not a normal thing for me to do. So I'm doing it for your sake. So it took me a couple times to remember.
But
to
here's
do
my
it.
Second point. Maybe you do ask in a more casual. It doesn't have to be some giant sit down conversation, mm-hmm. right? Like me wanting her to roll the windows down because she forgets to isn't that big of a deal, right? And that's not like a sit down conversation. I don't think that's. I think if you approach it that way, you're just making it too dramatic, right? So I just jokingly, hey, can you do that? Or I noted that, hey, you know, every time I go in the car, I'm drenched in sweat before I pull out of the driveway. Can you crack the windows? The Altadena sun is 3 times more powerful than the average sun. And so
that's the scientist, John.
Yes. And so you just kind of ask a couple times and look what happened. I wouldn't think that would have warranted a sit down conversation.
No,
at all.
I mean, but, that's a different thing, yeah. Right? If we're talking about something emotional, I think that would be different.
But here's the thing. She did it today because she listened to me and it was important to her. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk about masculine and feminine energy. This is actually a topic I'm generalizing here, but a lot of men get confused about.
I think a lot of people get confused about.
No generalizations.
Yeah, I think in general, it's a very confusing topic.
Let's
even
just
for
say me.
Me.
I was very confused.
Yeah, you were very confused.
I thought masculine energy was like, you know, I'll mow the lawn, I'll fix things. The gender, mm-hmm. Because of the way they were socialized. And then the feminine energy, I thought was like, you know, doing dishes, you know, right?
Your mom might say that.
Right. And so that is actually not true. We all have masculine energy and feminine energy. We got to be careful not to.
It's not gendered at all.
Yeah, it's not gendered. It's not a gendered thing. Because I think also with men, when we think of, or I should say me, when I think of feminine energy, I start feeling like that's a weakness or that it makes me less of a man.
Right. That's because we live in a patriarchal society and the patriarchy has done just that. Right. The patriarchal society has actually made everybody, man, woman, whatever, believe that feminine anything is weakness.
Right.
Feminine anything is bad,
is
wrong, is less than. And that is why we are where we're at as a society.
So how do you define feminine energy? How do you define masculine energy?
It's hard to say here's the definition. They're very fluid and there's a lot of components. This is not a conversation that's like a 5-minute chat, y'all. This is like, I mean, there are like PhD level studies on just this topic. the most kind of general, quick, broad I can give is masculine energy. When you think of masculine, you think of containing, holding, safety, structure, mm-hmm. Organized. And then, a monarch just flew into our garage.
And left.
It was like, nope, not interested.
No, thanks.
Feminine energy tends to be nurturing, and warm and communicative. And
you said once creativity is feminine energy, which I thought was really interesting.
Creativity tends to be more feminine energy. Masculine energy tends to be more like getting shit done, like task oriented. Yep. And so again, we all embody both. And so, sometimes it can be out of whack. Sometimes, you know, even as a woman, I can have more masculine, which I do. Or as a man, somebody can have more feminine.
So bringing it back to us in relationships, you have more masculine energy, and I would say I have more feminine energy. Or no?
Yeah, I think that it's not that I have more. We both have what happens is they get out of alignment, right? So it's not that I have more. It's just that I have put more time and energy into my masculine, so it's more honed than my feminine, because for me it's a safety thing.
So how would one balance their energy, masculine and feminine energy? So like if I tend to have more feminine energy than masculine, how would I balance it so I have more masculine energy, you think?
God, you were trying to have like a depth psychology conversation in a 5-minute Instagram live. The process to balance is actually pretty – it's not that it's tricky. It just – it takes a lot of ownership and a lot of self-awareness and a lot of introspection. So first and foremost, you need to be able to actually recognize what in you – I don't want to say lacking, but maybe is less sharpened, if you will, maybe what you have less access to. Where in your life do you feel like it would serve you or benefit you to actually be able to access some of these points that I made about the difference between masculine and feminine energies? Maybe where does your partner desire or request from you something that it doesn't come natural for you, or it feels like it doesn't come natural for you? Then there's a level of kind of acceptance and ownership of, okay, so like, for example, John and I had a conversation about this the other day, and there were some masculine energetic components where I said, you know, for me, I would feel safer, not in the relationship, but just as a person. I would feel safer if I felt like I wasn't the only one, because this is how I grew up. I wasn't the only one feeling like I had to be on the lookout all the time, making sure everything was good, making sure the lists were made, making sure schedules were met.
This is why I bought 2 beds from Amazon.
2 what?
Beds from Amazon.
Yes. We have animals here in Altadena. And so, you know, I said, that for me is a struggle, because I don't want to live in that place. That is a very survival based way of living that I have kind of grown up with. And I'm ready at this point in my life to soften out of that. I don't want to live in that state anymore, but it's almost impossible for me to soften out of that if I don't feel like in this situation, my partner, for example, is going to meet me in that masculine energetic place. Because if I don't feel like my partner can do that, then I'm going to stay in that place.
So here's what's confusing is, okay, so she wants me to exude more masculine energy. And we may have different definitions on what that looks like. Not only that, but she may put weight on different things. So in order for her to feel safe, you know, part of that can be financial security. Part of that can be responsibilities. Part of that can be daily chores. It's so wide.
But that's my responsibility to communicate specifics to you.
Right.
And then it's your responsibility as my partner to say, okay, I hear you. Here's where I'm going to try to work on things. Here's what I know that I'm probably not going to be really great at, but I'm going to do my best. And here's where I am actually going to try to work on things. It's because I need it. Right. And vice versa. Like you coming to me and saying, I need this from you to feel safer, more secure, more connected in this relationship. Actually, you wouldn't feel safer. That's more my thing. It would be more connected for you.
Yeah. So,
and then that's my responsibility.
Yeah. And I just had a revelation, because the other day I asked Vanessa, or I told her that I need, I'm someone because I'm more of an anxious, anxious attachment style. I'm always, seeking connection in some form, and maybe crossing the line sometimes of being needy, a lot less today than I used to, but some form of touch, some form of, you know, like compliment, kissing, you know, holding something. And if I don't get it, I always default to something is wrong, right? Vanessa, on the other hand, her thing is safety, it seems like. She needs to feel safe. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, me buying baseball bats on Amazon. Safety can mean so many things to her, but creating the safe. So here's the other thing. It ties into each other. So if she gets the safety, then she's going to feel more connected. And for me, if I feel more connected, she'll get the safety.
Maybe. That feels a little oversimplified, but
I simplify everything.
Here's why. I think that I don't necessarily know. I could be completely wrong. This is the first time I've ever thought about it, to be honest. I don't know how much overlap there is. Well, I'm sure there's overlap, but I don't know how clear cut it is between attachment styles and energetics.
Well, no, it doesn't matter.
I think you mixed the two up. You mixed them. Do you know what I'm saying?
You can't not mix them. I think that if someone feels something, so the two feelings is one's safety and one's connection. If you feel safe, there's going to be energy and behavior that manifests from feeling that. So
yes.
If I feel connected, there's going to be a ripple from that. And so when
I don't necessarily agree with that. And here's why. I don't think it comes natural to you to show me, provide me safety in the way that I need safety. Because in this conversation, we're saying that maybe you have put more time and energy and weight and lived in more of the feminine energetic dynamics and I the opposite. I think that actually is a stretch for you. And I actually don't think it has anything to do with attachment. And here's why. For me, feeling safe is not necessarily going to solve the desire for the attachment style trigger that you're talking about. Me being more connected to you physically, me touching you, right? That connection. That's an avoidant thing in me. So for me, that actually doesn't necessarily feel like masculine, feminine. What that feels like is you desire it. The problem is if I'm not in a state to give it, it's going to make me recoil is an intense word, but because of my avoidant tendencies, it can come on strong where then I back off and want to give it to you even less. So
even though you're feeling safe?
Yeah, it's not really about that. I don't think. I could be completely wrong again. But for me, the attachment style thing, I want to come into you and soften into you and connect with you when I'm feeling like I want to do that. Not when it's being required.
Yeah, but if you were feeling unsafe, that would be less of...
I mean, sure, I wouldn't do it at
all. That's like the
period.
Soil, right? So,
but I think it's about I would want to do it when I want to do it, not when you want to do it. I think that's an avoidant anxious thing. When it's put upon, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I'm saying this is kind of the feeling. When it's put upon the avoidant to connect, usually the avoidant doesn't want to connect.
No, it's not about putting upon. It's about...
That's why I said air quotes. It's not... I mean, that's being unfair to you, but I'm
so
just generalizing.
Here's my process. Okay, if what I'm desiring... whether it's because of my attachment style or my definition of love or whatever, for whatever reason, if what I'm desiring in this relationship is connection.
Yeah.
And so connection can mean a lot of things. It could mean intimate physical connection. It could mean emotional connection. It could mean eye contact. It could mean, you know, doing nothing or having sex.
Yeah.
Connection could mean a bunch of things, right? If that's what I'm thirsty for and I'm craving that because of how I'm wired,
mm-hmm.
and you give me that,
mm-hmm.
I want to naturally give you something back in return that I know may be hard for me,
mm-hmm.
but that you crave and want. I want to – it's literally like gift giving. It's like if you give me something, I want to return.
I don't like that.
No, I mean –
that feels so like
– naturally.
Like,
not that there's an exchange involved, but naturally if I'm getting something –
it feels conditional though.
It's not. It's a natural thing. If I'm getting something from you that I know is hard for you or isn't your wiring, but you are, you know, making an effort to give me something that I need, then I'm going to want to do it back at the least. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to want to go double or it's going to make me look in. It, you know what? Okay,
no, I see what you're
not
saying.
Not gift giving. It's almost like an apology thing. When you say to someone you're sorry, the person usually then looks at him or herself and says, oh, okay, well, I'm also sorry. It's like that hitting the ball back and forth. And I think that's what happens
for me. It's like matching, like energy matching energy, right?
Or yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you come in hot, I come in hot. If you come in soft, I come in soft. Like it just, it's an energetic matching.
Yeah, and that's what I experienced. Now, it shouldn't be like a conditional thing. It shouldn't be a scoreboard. It shouldn't be like, oh, I gave you this.
Yeah,
now, what
yeah.
are you going to get? No, of course not. But naturally, if I get something from you that I know isn't your jam or isn't something that you're used to, and I can tell you're making an effort for me, the first thing I want to do is something for you, naturally, not because I have to. And I think that's sometimes what creates the engine in a relationship, because we're all different. We all have different needs. And, you know, actions speak louder than words. So asking for something sometimes doesn't come. But if you give something to your partner that you know they desire, then it usually comes back much more naturally, organic, and more quickly than asking for something. You know, like me asking for a massage is not going to come as fast as me, you know, buying you food or doing something that is in line with your love language, and then you return on your own.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm processing what you're saying. There's part of me that agrees with it, and there's part of me that feels like it's a little confusing, but.
Well, that's why we're different. Well, that's it. We've gone 23 minutes. Maybe we can answer one question and then we're out. Okay, so on your phone, you've got a bunch of questions.
Oh, on my phone? I was going to look at those. Okay. No. Somebody said, did you ever doubt your relationship working out? If so, how did you work through it?
Yes. You want to answer first? I don't want to answer
you
for you.
Just answered.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yes on my side.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. I don't know if it's doubt working out. I had a lot of stutter and ambivalence in the beginning. A lot of that was not based on the relationship; was based on what was coming up for me.
Yeah.
My own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when I first met John, I had a instant kind of knowing, if you will, that this was somebody that I was meant to collide with. But then I was met with a lot of ambivalence, like you said. I tend to be somebody who knows what I want. I'm a New Yorker. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. I'm pretty blunt. I know what I want. I go for it. And I was not met with that same kind of conviction in return. And to be quite honest, I'd never experienced that in relationships. So, when I've like really wanted, they've also really wanted, and it's been pretty kind of eye to eye. So that was an new experience for me. And I wasn't really enjoying the feeling of not being, enough, not, you know, being desired, not being maybe, enough is the one that comes up. So it really started to make me be like, ooh, I don't like actually how this is making me feel. And so there was a few cycles, I think 3 or 4 cycles of this, where we would get into it and then John would get weird and pull in his head and back off. And then it would turn into this ambivalence thing. And he would be saying, I don't know about us. And so by the 3rd or 4th time, I essentially said, like, I don't actually think I can do this. I don't really want to do this anymore. And kind of gave him the space to be like, you essentially, to use a momism, it's like, shit or get off the pot. Like, you tell me if this is something you want or not. I'll be here, but I'm not going to engage. And you went away and thought about it.
I want to point something out. And this is happens because I'm always upset. I'm always interested in what's happening underneath. So my ambivalence, my trepidation, my, you know, all of that, triggered in Vanessa her not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why it was
not being chosen. I mean, that's a huge thing for me.
Right. So that's what was happening underneath. For me, like the poster behind me says, I was trying to be single on purpose. I knew that if I jumped into another relationship, like I wanted that to be, you know, the one. I didn't want to continually to date and all that. And so part of me was like, it's happening too fast. You know, let me go, you know,
sow your oats,
sow my oats and do some crazy shit. But also you can't tell someone to wait while you go sow your oats, because when you return, he or she may not be, available. Right. So there was a lot of that conflict and, so where I was at in my life, did I want to get into another relationship? Because that's kind of all I've been doing in my life is these, you know, long relationships. So that was happening. And then also, something new for me was there was a lot of contrast and coming out the other side. I now appreciate how different Vanessa is. I actually really do. Before it wasn't normal. And I thought because we were so different, right? So attachment styles, love languages, humor, I mean, there's a lot of overlap, right? But there's also a lot of differences, and I didn't see beauty in that. Instead, I saw that as a red flag or a warning that we're not meant to be. And this is why I say swim past the breakers. As we started to build a relationship, and I started to peel layers and get to know her, now I believe, or now I'm able to see that there is beauty in the differences. Now I'm able to accept her and appreciate her instead of trying to like, you know, put her in a box or she should be this way or have, you know, my, you know, wants, tendencies, you know, all of that stuff. I hope we answered the question.
I think we did. Yeah. I do want to say as we end this, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, we started with a few conversations around, you know, approaches to communication and then energetic dynamics and things like that. John and I, by no means, I mean, my background is in depth psychology, but by no means do I pretend to be an expert on energetics. This is a very, very broad topic. It's a very detailed and nuanced topic. There's so much stuff out there that you can, if it's interesting to you, that you can read more about and get into it and things like that. So don't think that what we're saying, we're not pretending like we're the experts on this. We're actually figuring it out together, right? Like I am a bit of a research nerd. So like I'll fall into a hole and then I'll bring it to him and we'll have these kind of conversations. And to be honest, I almost feel like what we presented to you is just more about how we, one of the ways that we fan the flames in our relationship is actually to kind of like nerd out and dive into these kind of interesting conversations and say, okay, well, I've never thought about it that way before. Like, what do I feel like in this topic that I'm desiring or that I'm lacking or that I'm needing? And like, what does that look like for you? And it turns into rather than me coming to you and saying, here's this list of things that I feel like I need or I want from you. It actually for us, again, comes out of or is born out of these conversations where it's like, oh, this is interesting. Have you thought about this? And so anyway, I just wanted to offer that as we close.
Yeah, I don't need to announce that I'm not an expert at this because that's not the position I want to take. Energy and masculine and feminine energy is something that is very, it's not new. I've heard it before, obviously, but it's something that I haven't explored. There is a book called The Way of the Superior Man, and don't judge it by its title. It's a very popular book, and I read it once after my divorce. It blew my mind. That book is about masculine and feminine energy. Check that out. Yeah, it's a topic to explore. It's something that we rarely talk about, and it's also affecting your relationship. So check that out.
And it affects all of us in the society we live in. So I actually think that's even more important of a reason to really dive in and understand it.
You know, at the end of the Dr. Phil show, he grabs his wife's hand and walks off the stage. What do you think ours should be? A tongue kiss?
That's weird. I don't. We're on a live. That's weird.
What do you want to do?
I think you love this.
Oh no.
That's all you guys get.
I want tongue. She wants a peck. That's our differences. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, before you go, if you want to engage with Vanessa or I live, we both teach in the TAT Lab. The TAT Lab is live virtual wellness classes, all using Zoom. These are not video courses. These are live groups and classes. A team of experts with lots of experience and also their own stories, teaching everything from healing trauma to Vanessa teaches codependency. We have attachment styles, relationship classes. I do something called Ask Angry, and that is basically a giant check-in. We've got book clubs. We've got meditations. Come check us out at TAT-Lab. That's TAT-Lab.com. And get a week for free and come say hi to me and Vanessa.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.